welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again. We pray for encouragement today, God. We pray for strength. We pray for peace that surpasses all understanding. We pray, God, that as we use this moment, the preaching moment, God, to help to elevate us, God, into your presence, God. Usher us in, God, right now in the name of Jesus. We humble ourselves before you right now, God. Strengthen us by power divine, God. Thank you, God, for musicianship. But thank you for the move of the Lord in our lives, God. Consecrate us right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church family. It is another Sunday, another opportunity to praise God and thank God. But it's another opportunity for us to reflect on his goodness through our communion service. Today I want to continue with something that I did a couple of weeks ago in the book of Ruth. We're going to start this morning in the same chapter, chapter 1, but we're going to begin at verse 11 and read down to verse 22. The book of Ruth. Chapter 1, verse 11. And it reads as follows. It says, "But Naomi said, 'Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husband? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grow up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me.' At this, they wept again, and then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. 'Look,' said Naomi, 'your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her.' But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me.' When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, 'Can this be Naomi?' 'Don't call me Naomi,' she told them. 'Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me.' So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning." The word of the Lord. This morning I would use as a theme, our faith enables us to circumvent cultural norms. Our faith enables us to circumvent cultural norms. Today I want to finish with chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. If you were with us a couple Sundays ago, we dealt with verses 1 through 10. Trouble don't last always. There was a famine in the land, and Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, chose to take matters into his own hands. They were running away from trouble, but more than that, they were running away from God. I know a number of us have tried to run away from God. I don't know how successful you have been. I know I tried it, and I never was able to get out of his presence. See, no matter where you go, you bring yourself with you. That's what you have to understand. Wherever you go, you bring yourself with you. That's why I hope and I pray that you like yourself, because wherever you go, you bring that person with you. So the same problems can continue in a different place. Now notice in the title of my theme, I use the word circumvent. Circumvent, it means to find a way around. It means to avoid it. It means to sidestep it. It means to evade it. There are rituals that exist in our society that can cause us to stumble. And we need to be strong enough to find a way around them. We need to be strong enough to try to avoid them. We need to be strong enough to sidestep them. We need to be strong enough to try to evade them. Several years ago, I was visiting a friend in Lancaster, PA, and I saw this man with a strange hat leaving the train station, followed by a woman. In his hand, he carried a small piece of luggage, while the woman who followed behind him had 5 to 6 bags with her. In this part of Pennsylvania, there's a heavy presence of Amish people. And in their belief, women are inferior to men and are expected to honor and support their husband in everything. Is there wrong with this picture, I said to myself, or is this a part of the culture? Do you realize that in Saudi Arabia, it's customary for a woman to walk 3 steps behind the man, and as the occasion arises, even kiss the ground that he walks on? The way women are treated is the result of philosophy of male superiority and domination. It has been often said that the Arab men treat their farm animals better than they treat their women. Are these illustrations modes of sexism, or are they embedded cultural norms we have accepted as a daily way of life? Just the other day, my wife and I went to the grocery store. I got out of the car, as I always did, and went to open her door. And as we leave the grocery store again, I got out and reopened her door. People seeing this gesture would say, he's probably from the South, where he was taught the proper mannerism as a young man. You see, the traditional Southern upbringing means that there are boy things and there are girl things in life that are looked at differently and they never cross over. I thought to myself, sometime I would like to have my own door open. Is there anything morally wrong with the way that I feel? See, feminist theologians would argue that the God of Christians has been conceptualized in almost exclusively male terms. But the challenge we are facing is how to work towards language and the image that brings the God of mercy and of justice into a clear focus so the whole world could see. I just wanted to give you a kind of backdrop of where we are with this text. But one of the things that I want to highlight for you that I see in the text is this. Don't allow cultural norms to dictate the outcome. Don't allow cultural norms to dictate the outcome. Often our view of how men and women should be treated is driven out of our knowledge of the culture. When I look at our text in Ruth, we see a male-focused yet anti-female society. See, the culture of Israel over the several hundred years from the time of Joshua certainly was a strongly masculine-dominated culture. Most of the material was written by men and presents a male perspective. Not only was this an issue, but women were the property of their fathers and their husbands. See, Ruth and Oprah, they were Moabite women, immigrants with a foreign accent, and they were also widows because both of their husbands had died. Even worse, the Israelite men were taught to avoid these Moabite women. So here Naomi was trying to encourage Oprah and Ruth to go back to your families and your false gods. Now, I had a problem with that part of the text, because why would a daughter of Abraham encourage pagans to go back to a false god? Some theologians believe that Naomi was trying to cover up her own disobedience. Because if she returned back to Bethlehem alone, nobody would ever say anything about the family, how they broke Moses' covenant, his law of allowing marriages to take place with pagan people. See, sometimes we try to cover up. Go back home. Don't follow me. Just go back to your own false gods. And you as a believer should know better. When she saw them hesitating, Naomi began to reason with them. Even if you go back, she says, with me, you can never marry again. My people couldn't identify themselves with you. You would be an outcast because we don't have any dealings with the Moabites. Naomi was implying that all hope was gone and her life had brought nothing but pain and utter devastation. She had resigned to defeat. See, Naomi wants to make sure that they understand the cost. And we too must understand what the cost is as well. See, Jesus never promised us a life of ease, did he? In fact, he promised just the opposite. Jesus says, if anyone come after me, let him or her deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. That's what he said in his word. Following Jesus means bearing the cross. It means suffering and hardship. So count the cost and consider the risk before you pursue him. We have to count the cost in everything that we do. You go buy a car, that's a cost. They're going to tack on interest. You go buy a house, that's a cost. And you need to know what the cost is when you follow Jesus Christ. Because he can guarantee what he says. He can back up his word. Both Oprah and Ruth had to make a real decision, just like we have to make a decision today. Oprah was the weaker of the two sister-in-laws. She started to Bethlehem with Ruth, but she wept with her, but yet she would not stay with her. See, although women have made a significant contribution to the community and its life, here in America, we have chosen a perspective that men and women are equal. But in other places, this view may be opposite. Don't forget, change your thoughts and you change your world. We need to understand that we can't allow cultural norms to dictate the outcome. We can't allow outside interferences to cause us to act differently because God has already saw something inside us. He has already given us the desires of our heart. That's why we have to seek him in everything that we do. The next thing that I see in the text, it says, our faith can help us overcome any obstacles in our path. Our faith can help us to overcome any obstacles. Obstacles meaning plural, because we know that in following Christ, there are going to be some trials and tribulations. But because he's with us, we don't have to worry. See, going back home can be a necessary aid in strengthening our faith. As Naomi finds out upon her return home, no matter how long you've been away and no matter what you've done, come home to the Lord. He still wants to bless you and use you for his glory. That's the kind of God that we serve. Naomi stands as a picture of the wayward Christians, one who has known the Lord and experienced his grace and his mercy, but made the choice to seek the ways of the world. Sometimes we can just put our own name in this book of Ruth. We made choices. We knew what the right thing was for us to do, but we still had our own desires. We may stray from the Lord and wander from the path that he has chosen for us, but his spirit never leaves us. Our lives may not always reflect his holiness, but the spirit will not depart from a believer. Those around us eventually recognize our relationship with Christ. They are watching our lives. We have the opportunity and the obligation to influence those who are unsaved. And we need to know that no matter where we go, and because you don't know who's watching you, you still have to walk in a certain way because of who you are and because of whose you are. In spite of the bad example of Ruth's disobedience in-laws, she had come to know the true and living God. She wanted to be with God's people and dwell in his land. Her background was against her, for she was a Moabite. Her circumstances were against her, because she could have been bitter against God of Israel for the loss of her husband. In the midst of death, in the midst of grief, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of fear and lonelessness, true love surfaces. Her father-in-law died, then her husband died, then his brother died, and she was left as a widow without any support. And we hear the quote in the Bible, it says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die there, I will be dying also. In other words, Ruth said, I accept poverty. I accept being an outcast. I accept the fact that I will remain a widow for the rest of my life. She was willing to accept all of this in order to take a stand for God. Her faith was so strong, not only was she willing to go, but she was willing to accept by faith what she had come to know as the one true God. Where's our faith today? See, we cannot control the circumstances in our life, but we can control how we respond to them. That's what faith is all about. Daring to believe that God is working everything for his good. That's why it says all things what? Work together for good. Them that love him, them that are called according to his purpose. Here's the affirmation that our faith enables us to circumvent cultural norms. That's what faith does. We got to be able to go around some stuff. We got to be able to sidetrack some stuff. We got to be able to avoid some stuff. That's what faith is. You still got to walk in the midst. You got to believe that it's yours because that's what your faith is. Even though you can't see it, you got to believe it. Because who's on your side? Who's on your side is greater than anything in the world. Here's the next highlight that I see. Others who are not bound by our customs and traditions can be used to show us a different way. Sometimes we think that because we're so holy, because we're so Christ-like, we think that we're the ones that's directing people. Sometimes we have to look what God is doing. That's why he can use a heathen to turn you around. It ain't got to be a saved person. Sometimes we think it's all about what we do, but it's really about what God is doing in the midst. Others who are not bound by our customs and traditions can be used to show us a different way. Despite the insurmountable odds facing Ruth, she was willing to embrace her destiny. Ruth became the teacher. She teaches us the value and importance of friendship. Ruth would not let Naomi stay depressed, lonely, or miserable. She is making a clean break with the past. She is burning her bridges behind her, and she's committing herself fully to Naomi's God. See, each of us is born in sin with a desire to please ourselves. If we are to receive the favor of God, we must be willing to forsake the old life of sin and come unto Christ. See, you cannot have it both ways, but you can make the choice to go towards the Lord and his call. See, the Lord demands that we die to ourselves in order to live to him. There's a much better life found in the Lord if we are willing to make the sacrifice. Naomi expresses her bitterness against the Lord for the sorrows and the trials that she had gone through instead of realizing that the Lord brings trials into our lives as his people because he loves us and is using those difficulties for good in our life to train us in righteousness. She instead believed that God is against her, and thus the hand of the Lord has done these things to her. See, it's easy for us to blame God when things ain't going right. I always wonder, when things are going good, who do we blame? Who gets the credit then? See, trials in our life will either make us better or they will make us bitter. Trials in your life, they either make you better or they make you bitter. It depends upon how we view them. There is a picture of all of our lives in these verses. The question that I have for you today, are you like Naomi, wandering in a foreign land away from God? Or are you like Oprah, familiar with the ways of God but unwilling to accept him as your savior? Or are you like Ruth, who forsook her past as well as herself for a new beginning? She chose the God of Israel rather than the gods of the world. I'm done, but you know I got to tell you a story. I had a friend who was from Iceland, and he would go back home at least once a year. And upon his return home, he would always bring back some codfish and share with all of his friends. A number of years ago back, the codfish industry on the northeast coast of the U.S. had a problem. They were trying to figure out how to keep the codfish fresh while transporting them from across the country. When they were frozen, the fish lost much flavor. When they transported them in a live tank with salt water, the fish got soft and they were mushy. Finally, somebody came up with a solution. They placed a catfish in the tank with the codfish. You see, the catfish are natural predators of the codfish. So the catfish would chase the fish in the tank while being transported. As a result, the codfish would now ride better in a condition than they ever had before, because the constant motion helped the codfish to remain fresh. It remained fresh not because of the water. It remained fresh not because of the journey. It remained fresh because of the catfish. And when we think about our lives and go back over our past, it's not always where we're going to, but where we're coming from. It's the people who have chased you. People that said you would never amount to anything. You'll never be nothing. They drove us and they pushed us harder to fight to become what we are today. So as I think about the story of Ruth, she did not allow her circumstance to sway her belief. She was willing to abandon everything that she had ever known in search for a better beginning. Even though her father-in-law died, her husband died, his brother died, and she was ostracized in the society that where she was going. But she felt like, no matter where I go, I have a strong faith. So don't get caught up in the accomplishments of your life, lest you forget it's not the water that kept you. It's not the train or the plane. It's the catfish. And the next time somebody asks you, what do you thank God for? Thank God for God. But most of all, thank God for the catfish. We have to understand there are things in our lives that God wants to make sure that we're strong in our faith. Don't let something, nobody else, make you feel that you're less than. That's the encouragement that we need. When people talk negative about you, keep on stepping on for the God, because they become the catfish that God uses to motivate and push you forward. The word of the Lord. Stand on your feet. Our faith enables us to circumvent cultural norms. We have a lot of norms. We have a lot of traditions. And we have to be reminded that sometimes we got to go around that stuff in order to do what God has called us to do. There may be somebody listening on the phone today. There may be somebody that's watching via Facebook Live, and you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin. And today he's using the preacher to be the catfish. He wants you to step out on faith. You can come by letter. You can come by water baptism. You can come on your Christian experience. Is there one today that doesn't know God? Is there one that want to have a connection with him? Is there one that's struggling, especially in this pandemic? You don't have a job. You don't even have income. But we serve a God that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. So are you here? As they play softly, is there one on the phone? Is there one? We know it's Communion Sunday. But we can't commune with him if you're out of fellowship with him. Is there one?
My choice.
Do you want to make Jesus your choice today? Come on, y'all.
The road is rough.
Yes, the road is rough.
And the going gets tough.
And the hills.
And the hills are hard to climb.
I started out. How long ago?
Such a long time ago.
Yes. Is there one?
There is no doubt in my mind. I've decided to make Jesus